All Elite Podcast. Covering all the latest news and results from the AEW.
Wait a minute. Sean Spears? Chair shot right to the side of the head of Cody.
This is pro wrestling analysis as you've never heard before.
Deathly Hallows!
Might be it.
1, 2, 3, can save it!
Coming to you every single week. So without any further delay, let's go all in and get the show started right now.
Hello and welcome everybody to AEW Aftershock. I'm your host, Zach Perez, at Spots High on Twitter. And what a week of dynamite this was in Cody's adopted hometown of Atlanta, Georgia. And it just from start to finish, it felt like a pay-per-view on television, kind of reminiscent of the old WCW style of just putting it all out there on a television program, especially, you know, the fact that it's on TNT. It definitely has that same sort of vibe. But the State Farm Arena just was an electric crowd all night. The crowd was into it. I was into it. And I think that we should get right into it. So we'll jump right into the first match of the night, which was the number one contender tag team championship battle royal. And this was insane. It started off with an absolute brawl. All the teams storming the ring. It kind of looked like a lumberjack match with them all on the outside to start the night. And then they just all stormed in and just started beating the living hell out of each other, and I enjoyed every minute of it. This was a battle royal done very well. Everybody kind of had their standout moment, I feel like, and it's very much worth mentioning the Butcher versus Luchasaurus moment, the brawl in the center of the ring, the two big guys just going at it, just striking the hell out of each other. I loved it, and it was just had the right energy to it throughout, and different spots that you could point to and say this person had their moment. And I just feel like this really showcased how deep the tag division is in AEW, and it was exactly the kind of over-the-top, crazy, awesome action that I was hoping it would be. And we did end up, I don't want to go too far into who eliminated who and getting into all of that. It's just worth watching. But like I said, the Luchasaurus versus Butcher in the middle of the ring spot was fantastic. You know, you had so many different tag team moments with Jurassic Express as well. And then you had the Dark Order getting involved at one point. There's also some speculation. We did see Raven from ECW, WCW fame, of course, you know, and he was in the crowd. So there is a lot of potential speculation that he might be the Exalted One, which would be a very interesting twist and a very good idea in my opinion. There's definitely some candidates from that kind of era that would make a lot of sense. Maybe even, you know, like Vampiro or Gangrel. There's a couple different kind of options from that time period, or, you know, they could really go left field, grab Mordecai, and there's a lot of different style of those gimmicks from back then. And the Exalted One situation, one that's definitely worth keeping its eye on, and I think it'll have a big impact on the tag division. But the overall biggest impact of this match was, of course, that the Young Bucks ended up taking the victory after a lot of back and forth action, and LAX, you know, or Proud and Powerful rather now, are, you know, battling it out with Matt Jackson at the end of the night, and ended up taking a street sweeper, but still did not get put out. And Sammy Guevara jumped down for one of the most hellacious super kicks that I have seen in quite some time. Everybody kind of reached to the Shelton Benjamin, Shawn Michaels, famous sweet chin music spot, and it was definitely very similar, you know, not a springboard but off the top rope. But the height he got and the way he sold it when it came down to his chin and he just kind of fell back like he was in a John Woo movie, it was very intense, and I loved every second of that match from start to finish. And I think that was a brilliant way of ending it, you know, having Matt kind of get this big inspirational comeback at the end and getting the clothesline to finally end the night with Santana going over the top rope. So great match, definitely worth watching. I think that it's a standout show of just how much head and shoulders better AEW's tag division is than anything going right now. I just don't see how you can make a comparison without, you know, saying that AEW is at least near the top, if not the top. In my opinion, there's no debate that they are the best tag division in the world right now. So, but like I said, I don't want to get too hung up on this match. There was just so much going on. It's hard to really even try and cover it here. But we'll move right along to Chris Statlander versus Shayna, which was a nice back and forth match there too. You know, you had a lot of the nose poke spot, which, you know, it's not my particular favorite thing, but I understand why some people think that it's entertaining. And I do like her character overall. I think that she connects with the fans well. You know, so I think that this match was a good showcase of both of them. And, you know, you had some battling back and forth, Shayna hitting some very Tajiri-like kicks at some point, and, you know, just a lot of things to build upon here for this women's division. As long as they play their cards right, I feel like they had a good chemistry in the ring, and, you know, putting people together who have similar styles like this in just regular singles action is the kind of way to branch out that division and not make it seem so stale. So I like the fact that they've got Chris Statlander on a slow rise, and they're still utilizing the rest of the division without rushing her into the title picture immediately, although we did see later on she did interrupt Nyla Rose in a promo, which was a very great promo, by the way. Definitely worth checking out. She feels very comfortable, it looks like, in the championship role. So she did end up interrupting later on, and also Big Swole interrupted. So we'll have to see where that progresses. But I like the fact that they've kind of slow burned her way to the top rather than just rapid acceleration, and they've kind of put some thought into the way that they're setting up this program for Revolution, as opposed to before, where it just feels a little bit sloppily thrown together. I think they're picking all the right people to kind of push at the right time. So we'll have to see how this match ends up, if it's a triple threat or if we see Big Swole versus Statlander next week for the number one contendership. We'll have to see where this ends up, but this was a very solid contest, and I would love to see a rematch between these two somewhere down the line, especially as Shayna gets a little more acclimated to the AEW style and pace. So I think that that was a great showing. And but moving on along to the Jeff Cobb versus John Moxley match, which was, of course, Jeff Cobb's debut in AEW, you know, having crushed it in Lucha Underground, New Japan, ROH, you name it. He's always been a dominant force on his way in. And this match was actually had Taz on commentary, which I felt was a very smart move too, because we got to see kind of the similarities and comparisons, and he actually looks a lot like Rhino as well. So it's kind of interesting to think that all the wars that Rhino and Taz had back in ECW. And but this was a very, very good showing out party for Cobb in his debut in AEW. He looked absolutely dominant, tossing Moxley around, but, you know, you always get these sort of Bruiser Brody style matches out of Moxley where it's all over the place, you know, it's brawling all across the arena and just constant action and battling back into it when you don't expect it, and throwing elbows and strikes. And I just love the way that Moxley has sort of reinvented his character here. You know, we had a lot of dominance early from Cobb, and then it slowly progressed into more of a duking it out sort of brawl. We ended up having the finish come off of a superplex at the hands of Cobb that ended up being rolled into a small package by Moxley. So he kind of escapes out of there. It doesn't make Cobb look too weak, but also it makes him look very crafty. It was a smart version of a roll-up rather than opposed to just a random out of nowhere kind of run off and get out of there type of finish. I thought that it was smart that he was, you know, still in the fight, but ended it in a very crafty and smart way. But we ended up seeing him get beaten down at the end of this matchup by the Inner Circle, which was very much expected. And then what wasn't so expected was the return of Darby Allin, who got a massive pop. I mean, you cannot talk about AEW not building stars when you hear the ovation that you get for Darby Allin. Later in the night, the ovation that you hear for Cody Granite in his secondary hometown, as I specified before. But, you know, just the the air around the re-debut of Darby or the reappearance of Darby, whatever you want to call it here, it just really made so much sense. I mean, oh, and also forgetting to mention too that we had Dustin coming to the rescue, probably further pushing that Jake Hager versus Dustin match at Revolution as well. But just the absolute pop that Darby Allin got, and the way the crowd responded to him, and he was using his skateboard as a weapon. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Sting in a lot of ways, just taking on everybody and using his weapon of choice. And it just was a brilliant spot and really massively showed how over he was. It was just a really nice sight, and even Taz was a little bit choked up by it, a little caught off guard by how big of a pop it was, giving him chills and things like that. So it was palpable energy, to say the very least. But that matchup ended up, you know, pushing things along between Moxley and the Inner Circle, and we know that on the 29th we're going to finally get that matchup, so we'll have one more Dynamite next week before we get there. So we'll have to see what obstacle is put in Moxley's way next. He's pretty much made his way all the way through the Inner Circle and then some. Next up, we ended up having Lucha Brothers taking on Kenny Omega and Adam Page for the titles, and I actually was pretty surprised by this. I honestly thought that the Lucha Brothers would end up taking the victory here, but it did go to Omega and Page. But they did continue to tease the sort of dissension in the ranks here, as they had Omega get hit with a buckshot lariat, much like he had previously, and I think a couple of weeks ago. They showed it early on in a highlight, but, you know, I thought that this match was brilliant. Crazy how much chemistry Adam Page and Omega have in the limited time that they've worked together. It's just absolute crazy energy every time that these guys step into the ring, and having it go up against the Lucha Brothers here, they just are simply the best tag team, period, in my opinion. It's just, they are so high energy, so crazy innovative, and the things they do in the ring you don't even think are possible, and then you witness it and you still don't think that it's possible. It's just trickery, or, you know, like a magician in front of your eyes. It's just absolutely worth watching, and it such a crazy amount of things going on, with everybody just kind of pulling out all the stops, and you could really tell that this match meant a lot to both teams, and they showed out and really put on a hell of a show and possibly a match of the night. It's hard to say that it wasn't better than the next matchup, which was the steel cage match. But it's just, they were two completely different matches, so it's very much apples to oranges, but you can still make the comparison. So it's just, having these guys in the ring together as two teams is just brilliant and will never create a bad match. So some absolute craziness to finish it as well, where a sort of corkscrew crossbody attempt came from Rey Fénix and ended up getting hit with the V-trigger, then shortly after rolled right into the Tiger Driver 98, and then we got that new sort of buckshot lariat V-trigger combo that looks like somebody's skull is going to get fractured. That ended up finishing the night, but we did have that little tease of the possible breakup of this tag team, but with how entertaining the matches are, it's hard to want to see this end, but you can feel it in the air that sometime soon we're going to get this, especially now that it's going to be the Young Bucks taking them on at Revolution. There's going to be something that happens, more than likely, some sort of change, whether it be a heel turn for Page or a heel turn for Omega. Who knows exactly what direction they're going to go with this. Speaking of Omega, that there is going to be a 30-minute Iron Man match at Revolution between Omega and Pac. So that will be the rubber match that he has been requesting. A brilliant, brilliant match idea for them. I love the idea, and I can't wait to see them battle it out for 30 minutes at Revolution. That's going to be an insane matchup with a lot of energy. That sort of rematch from one of the pay-per-views, it escapes me off the top of my head which one it was, but it's just going to be phenomenal. And we know that based upon their track record and based upon the times that they've gotten in the ring so far here in AEW. So I'm very much looking forward to Revolution. More and more I talk about it, the more matches that build up, it's just turning into a super show, it feels like. They've done an excellent job of building it in my eyes. But speaking of that, we had the steel cage match with Cody taking on Wardlow. And of course, you know, Cody accompanied by Arn Anderson and Wardlow accompanied by MJF holding that ring, which we could see would come back into play quite nicely later in the night. But they both got some crazy reaction from the crowd. We ended up having Cody get busted open in the steel cage, and it never feels like a traditional steel cage match unless you have a little bit of blood. It just sells the entire atmosphere, and especially with Cody getting kind of manhandled by Wardlow here and just sort of decimated for most of the match, it really just visually hits on a different level. And I know some people aren't exactly a fan of it, and it's something that's kind of dying out and phasing out of wrestling, but to me it always has a place, especially in these sort of matches. And for the first steel cage match of AEW, it was very reminiscent of the matches that we've seen from Dusty Rhodes with the same sort of atmosphere, the steel cage around him. So I love the fact that they allowed the blood, and it was sort of a throwback to a lost era, or one that's in the process of being lost, I guess you would say. But this match just had a little bit of everything. It was a great storytelling matchup. They didn't have to do a whole lot in terms of the actual action that they achieved, but what they did was they used every moment to really get the crowd into it. And then we, of course, had the absolute insane finish. I'm trying not to use some colorful language here to describe it, but it was insane. It had Cody diving off of that humongous cage for a moonsault to land on Wardlow after he clocked him with his ring. You know, the ring got thrown in by MJF and then later intercepted by Cody. Cody got the power of the punch a la William Regal and then ended up deciding that it wasn't quite enough. He ended up hitting that insane moonsault. I mean, the height was ridiculous, and Wardlow was standing, and it looked like his knees just crumpled under it. It really did look like some sort of car crash in the middle of the ring. It was just intense way to end the night, with him, you know, bloodied and staring off at MJF, ready for that contest at Revolution on the 29th. This was just a hell of a night all the way through. I just couldn't believe how much they gave away for free leading into this pay-per-view, but it's brilliant. It really does make you so excited and want to see more and want to be sort of on the edge of your seat and ready for the next pay-per-view that's coming up very soon. So we'll have one more Dynamite, and if this caliber continues for next week, then I can't even imagine how insane that Revolution is going to be, because the matches that they have on the card are so highly anticipated and so good on paper that it just doesn't seem like there's a way that this pay-per-view could fail. I just am very much hyped for it, and I think that this cage match was a brilliant way to kind of cast off and end the stipulation things with MJF. You know, it had a backfire on him and kind of give Cody the momentum that he needs for it to make sense when he probably takes the victory at Revolution. We'll have to see exactly how that plays out. You know, MJF is definitely a star to build around for the future. So, but at this point in time, my prediction is that Cody will take the win. It'll be probably a very bloody and violent affair, considering the fact that we've had so much build and so much hatred in this feud, with MJF costing Cody the shot at the title, and, you know, having that be, you know, the one sort of roadblock in the way to him having this huge and successful career that everybody expected him to here in AEW. I don't even think, interestingly enough, with him not having the title, that people expected him to be having such a meteoric rise the way that he did. It just really goes to show how well they built him and how well he knows his own character and what he needs to do to get the fans behind him and, you know, building a really successful face character in 2020. which is a very hard thing to do. It's very hard to not get the fans fickle and wanting to turn on you. And with MJF being such an overheel, the fact that they still get Cody to get these massive pops and, you know, get the boos behind MJF, the crowds are just so into what they're doing. But I think that's enough rambling on the quality of the product for one night. So I will go ahead and sign off for this week. But before I do that, as always, you know, make sure to pop over to ProWrestlingPost.com, where I am now doing a weekly review of AEW Dynamite. And you can also check out my articles on Last Word on ProWrestling.com, where I do a preview of Dynamite each week. So, you know, I'm always well-versed and on the case when it comes to AEW, and there might be more to come in the very near future on both of those fronts when it comes to writing. So always check my Twitter out, at Spots High, for all the latest information on what I'm doing, what I'm up to, and lately some live tweeting during the show as well, if you're into that sort of thing. So, but until next time, as always, goodbye and good night.
Goodbye and good night.
Goodbye and good night.
Goodbye and good night. Goodbye and good night.